What's up, beer drinkers? How y'all doing this week? Oh, we got another great show for you again this week. And you know what makes it great? I mean, besides drinking and reviewing some delicious beers, but it was another Drunk Greg episode. But this time, I think I held my composure just a wee bit better than the last few times that I was drunk and I recorded. So, pat myself on the back, give myself the old Barry Horowitz, and it was great. It was a fun show. We talked about a lot of stuff. Talked about our kids quite a few times. It was my fault though. For some reason, I had my daughter on my brain, and so she came up a few times, and I asked Sorcerer Chromat, of course, about his two kids, and it just happened to be that way. The beer news, we have a couple great beer news stories that send us off on some wild tangents. The cold brew list, we tap into that St. Patrick's Day feeling, and not much in shenanigans. I think we roll from our ratings pretty much dab back. Like I said, we talked a lot about kids, so we dabbed a little bit about our kids, and then we got out. So nice. What, like 47 minute show, I think, was the runtime, plus however much this preamble is. So I will cut myself off right now. And, here comes the show. Oh, real quick, got to do the plugs. Don't forget to follow us on Untappd and also Instagram. Search Cold Brew Podcast. And I have a new Instagram account just for myself. A solo account, Cold Brew Greg, made it easy for you guys. The cold brew part isn't easy, but just like it shows on your on our logo, Cold Brew _ Greg. Just search me, and I will be posting a lot on there. I realize there's a lot of stuff I want to post, but it doesn't really fit with the show, promoting the show. And so, I'm going to start doing a lot more on there, my shenanigans on the weekends, because, I like to promote myself. So it'll be more about me on that channel, and I'll be doing a lot more. And then on the brand channel, I'll just be posting, I'll just be posting about the show, which I haven't done in a while. But, maybe it'll give me the impetus to start or the ambition to start posting on there more. So, Cold Brew_ Greg. Follow me, and maybe I'll follow you back. All right. So without further ado, it's time for another Cold Brew. Coming at your pre-recorder from Cold Brew Studios, I am Greg, he is Sorcerer Chromatic, and we're here to talk about beer.
Yes, we are.
How you doing this week, man?
Oh, not bad. This week seemed to be kind of strange.
How so?
It was the first week I worked 5 days in a long time.
Okay. Yeah, you get a lot more days off as far as government holidays than I do.
Yeah, that and just vacation days and yeah.
Yeah, everything's pretty good in between.
Yeah, to reveal more too, my wife was on a graveyard shift this past few weeks.
Yeah.
And she's off now, but it just made days really, really short, because the time with her was quick, and then
I get that. Yeah, it just throws off your whole rhythm,
right?
Yeah. All right, cool, man. Well, not cool, but I totally understand. But we're here now, our weekly thing, and it's time to talk about some beer. You got a beer in front of you, or do I need to give you some time?
No, I do, but I had to dig deep into to my archives, because I ran out of beer.
Yeah, it happens. It happens, especially on an off week. So, all right, let's get to the beers then, shall we?
Sure.
All right, so today I have in front of me from some new friends out of Lafayette, Colorado. I have from Westbound and Down, a hazy IPA coming in at 7.2% alcohol by volume, called Juice Caboose. I love this fucking, it's a great name. Just because it's, you know, it rhymes. The two words rhyme. And the label's kind of cool. It's like a pastel rainbow tie-dye. See here, Westbound and Down, a brewery with deep Colorado roots that aims to infuse the spirit of the West into everything we create. Always consistent, expertly balanced with a strong commitment to quality, elevating adventure since 2015. Hey, just like us. We've been around since 2015. I know, right? This beer is proudly brewed by Westbound and Down in Lafayette, Colorado. I was trying to look for the hop profile, but doesn't have it on here. I will maybe on the in my next my update segment I will bring it up. But anyway, pop off. What do you got?
I have from our friends up at Drake. I have one of their classics. I have their Black Label Draconic.
Ooh, very nice.
Imperial Stout aged in whiskey bourbon barrels. 13.9% ABV. I don't know what year this is from, but I do not have a vert going for it, so I might as well crack it open because I know it's been in my cellar for a while. I chilled it, and not a deep freeze like I normally like. It's not a cold brew, but you know, cold enough for a barrel age.
Cold enough. And without
any further ado, yes. any further ado, pop off. Actually,
yeah.
Real quick, for those of you who might not be familiar with Drake's or haven't seen one in a while, so the Draconic Black Label is our beefed up version of our favorite Imperial Stout, which is just regular Draconic. The Black Label is what signifies the barrel aging.
Yep.
Brewed specifically to be barrel aged, tons of layered malt aromas and flavors of dark fruit and chocolate balance out this insane 13.9% ABV beer that is aged for a year in Heaven Hill bourbon barrels. Ooh, Heaven Hill, that's some good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which imparts a ton of vanilla with a slight coconut aromatics to the beer. The beer is a monster, 100% barrel age limited release. So, and I just have a 12-ounce bottle.
Oh, okay.
I
don't know
if it's a 16. But yeah.
I mean, that's
without any further ado, yeah. I'm going to be pouring it. But go ahead.
I was about to say, I mean, with an Imperial, like a 12-ounce is all you really need.
Oh, definitely. So they sell them as single, so sometimes they do a bigger bottle.
Right, yeah. But it's not like back in the day when we first started this in 2015. It's not like it's the Bombers, the 22-ounce Imperial Stouts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Man, that was...
I get you.
That was another day in time.
The CBS? Ooh.
Oh. All of those, the KBS, the CBS, the Goose Islands. Oh my goodness. Fucking A. The epic Big Bad Baptists. Forget about it.
Yeah.
All right, so this Westbound
and almost picked one of my big I almost chose one of my Big Bad Baptists for this show.
Ooh, BBB. Ooh, you nasty.
Hey.
Sorry, I was listening to Redman this week. Anyway,
you do good, huh?
What?
So underrated. Oh, I think he's so underrated.
Fucking A, you are right, man. I was listening to a lot of his shit. Even his features are fucking. A lot of times they're a lot better than the artists that are featuring him.
Oh yeah, yeah. He has that skill.
Yep. All right, so let's get to my beer, the Westbound and Down. I did find a little bit more info on it. It has, according to the website, it has copious amounts of Idaho 7, Mosaic, and Strata hops. I like this one. This one it's very soft, but it has a lot of flavor to it. A lot of citric flavor. And I would say it is smooth. A little bit dank, but not a lot. It's more in the finish than in the front. So... it's really good. Like I said, it is 7.2%. Did I say 7.2? That's what it says on the website. And on the can, it says... I forgot what I read. Yeah, 7.2. So This one's really good. I think I rate it pretty high. Later on during our untapped portion or rating of the show. So how is your Drake's Imperial Stout treating you?
It's rich. It's rich. It's roasty. It's malty. And it's, of course, it's got that barrel-aged sweetness and style to it. I'm enjoying it already.
Do you have the year? I don't know if you said the year.
No, I don't. I can't tell according to the label. Mm. I mean, it's tough to say.
I know it's not this year or last year. Is it probably like a 2022 or 2021? Maybe even 2020, right? Or do you think it's even older than that?
I think it's older, dude.
Really?
Seriously, I don't remember the last time I seen it available like at a store.
Okay.
Just to the area of my selling collection where it's at, yeah, is in the older, it's in the deep end.
You got no shallow end beers?
I do, but this one's in the deep end.
Okay, so, all right.
This basically, it's one of my first seller series, if you will.
Oh, shit.
You know.
Yeah. I remember back in the day, we talked about you and I don't know if we might have mentioned it on the podcast, but talking about like registering our beers or creating a table of all the beers we have and what day we bought them. Mm. And you haven't got to that part yet, right?
No.
Yeah, me neither. All right. If it wasn't for Untappd, I'd forget all the fucking beers we even had on the show.
No kidding.
All right. Speaking of Untappd, we'll rate our beers later during our Untappd portion of the show. But right now, it is time for some beer news. All right, so the first beer news story comes to us from Barron's, written by Evie Liu and Callum Keon. Bud Light sales keep falling. It isn't all bad news for the brewer, though. Almost a year after Bud Light's involvement with transgender influence, Dylan Mulvaney triggered a broad consumer boycott of the brand, the beer is still suffering from diminished sales. Still, Bud's parent company, AB InBev, managed to increase its profit and revenue on an organic basis in the fourth quarter. While U.S. revenue declined 17.3%, growth in other markets helped boost revenue 6.2% to $14.5 billion, Anheuser-Busch said Thursday. Analysts surveyed by FactSet had expected a revenue of $15.6 billion, so it underperformed, but not by a lot. Sales to retailers in the U.S. dropped 12%, driven by a decline in volumes of Bud Light, the company said. Earnings per share of 82 cents beat expectations for 77 cents, but decreased from 86 cents in the same quarter a year earlier. So despite the decline in U.S. sales, AB InBev is not hurting at all, which goes to show that, you know, it doesn't matter what the U.S. market does for beer as far as AB InBev is concerned. Because like I told you last year, you were surprised and I was surprised. They have over 500 brands. And to worry about this one week. Brand, what?
Last week. He said last year. Last
week. Oh, yeah. Last week. My bad. Last week. Yeah, to worry about one brand, it's ludicrous because it is what, like 0.2% of your catalog.
Yeah, it was one of the bigger features of your catalog.
Right. Still, yeah.
It's just one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, I've from articles I've read so far this year, I haven't talked about it on the show, but I do read about investment articles, and everyone is big on AB InBev. It's a buy right now as far as their stock goes. Do you play the stock market, or are you just 401k only? Where are you in the whole investment scheme?
Shoot. My reaction should let you know where I'm at. You know, I'm a 401k. It's like a 457 because I work for the government. It's a different thing. It's the same difference.
Okay.
And then I have a few other like liquid accounts that I kind of mutual fundish stuff.
All right. I was.
It's nothing. Yeah. It's nothing. What you called where I'm in the position to retire super early or anything like that.
Right. Right.
But it's just something to set up the future, I guess.
I'll call you Don Henley because you're like the Eagles in the long run.
Yes.
You know, I have dabbled. I do have an account. I still have a Merrill Lynch account that has a little bit that I
move around.
I don't have anything in stocks yet. I just have it in my account, and I've yet to buy, but. There's been a couple things I've been recently eyeing lately as far as like stocks that are less than a dollar that might improve in the next 5 years. But for me, anything I do in the stock market is a long play. I'm not a day trader. A lot of those day traders, I don't know if you watch like the short sell or whatever it was called, Wolf of Wall Street. They all do those, especially now today in today's investment game. It's a lot of day trading, a lot of computer buying, and they buy extreme volumes, like a few seconds at a time, and to maximize their, it's all about the percent. It's really not about the dollar amount. It's all about the percent change. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Yep. So yeah, if you get something that, say you have $1,000 and it increases like 10%, you just made $100 and you sell right away, and just to get that $100. And then you keep that 10%, and then you take that $100 and you invest again, or $1,000, whatever I said. You keep that initial investment and do it again.
I guess that's one of the things that doesn't make me so active in it, is like you gotta be ready to just stick and move, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have that time. I'm usually sleeping there when the market's jumping around during the day. But
never sleeps, my friends.
If you do the long play though, if you look at the Dow or the NASDAQ or whichever, the S&P 500, whichever market you want to get into, over the long run, it improves. I think I want to say like 10 to 12% over, but I'm talking about like over a 20, 30 year period. I'm not talking like a 20, 30 day period. You have to stay in the long haul.
I get you.
All right. One more thing I want to get before we move on to the next segment. This story comes to us from VinePair, written by Hannah Stab, or Staab, Staab. Anyway, the headline is Boston Beer Company announces new CEO.
They get Bill Burr. I'm Brady. Ed. The little.
Oh my God. Boy. Matt Damon, Ben Affleck.
There you go.
Casey Affleck. Oh my God. That was hilarious. Bill, that whole Saturday Night Live, the Bill Burr Saturday Night Live, the pumpkin beer. So fucking crazy. Yeah.
Like, right away you knew where this was going when like they're at the store, so they got the little spokesperson, taste pourer person.
Yeah,
and he's sitting down talking about it. All right, I see what you got.
Yeah, this is that beer that you buy and you keep in the back of your fridge until one of your friends comes over and you give it to him. My favorite part of the, and it might be your favorite part of the whole sketch, was it wasn't have to do with beer when he and his son, they showed he and his son shopping at the store. And he's like, he and his son like I think he said to his son, "With this, you know, we don't buy this cereal. Put it back. Get the other stuff." And his son was looking at him like, "Oh, so today's the day?"
Yeah. Like they're... yeah. I think he'd take you on, man.
Yeah. Oh, I fucking... Dude, the slight tangent, like we never go on tangents, but right now, in your estimation, because I only asked you because I want to tell you mine. Bill Burr is one of my favorite stand-ups. Who's one of your favorite stand-up comedians right now?
Stand-up comedians right now?
Yeah, that you can remember seeing, or like, you know, Netflix has a lot. Amazon has got a couple.
Yeah. You know, I was talking with my wife about, you know, she asked about stand-up comedy. I go, you know, Damon Wayans' two HBO specials, you know, Last Stand and Still Standing,
mm-hmm.
those are legendary.
Yep.
Those are phenomenal. And I even, I don't know how often they get taken out, but I even, like, saw it bootleg on YouTube, you know, mm-hmm. It wasn't like official license, like this guy was putting it up, but I just saw a few clips and I had to stop because I was laughing so hard getting too into it, and I was just,
no, yeah.
I was not at a position where I could spend, like, you know, the hour and a half of my day just watching it, and I want to watch it full completely, so I had to pause it. And it's funny you say that because it was a couple weeks ago I did this, so but yeah, I mean, there's so many new people out, and
yeah,
I don't know. I'm not trying to be cynical, and I'm not trying to say that I get their craft, I get what they're going for. Just mm-hmm. Some of them just don't do it for me.
No, yeah, I totally get it. I try to get into Tom Segura, and he's got a couple jokes, but you know, a lot of people recommended him to me. I'm like, you know, I get it. It's just, it's not me. Like Bill Burr, Dave Chappelle are two of my favorites right now. And then, but yeah,
I would say that my latest on Chappelle though is, I think he knows he's under a mic, and I'm not saying he's not good. I'm just saying, or it's not funny. I'm just saying, I think he knows he's a little bit under a microscope too much. Yeah. And he's kind of aware with that.
Mm.
And I don't know if he's like pulling punches or catering to it, but it just seemed, he just seems like he's in this place where he doesn't want to be brought up for not being funny.
Yeah, but I think a lot of comedians are doing that, like the really good ones. I think Ricky Gervais is really good. I have never seen his stand-up, but I think he's the same way. Like he knows what's funny, but at the same time, he knows a lot of people out there don't find his comedy funny because he might be pushing the envelope on both sides of the aisle.
I get that. Don't get me wrong. I like Chappelle's, what's it, the dream one?
I forgot the names of his, but I saw the last two Netflix specials, and I thought they were great, both of them.
Yeah, I'm talking about the latest one.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, he had the one during COVID, and then he had the one right after COVID. He had the latest one. I forgot what it's called.
Look it up now. It's bothering
me. Yeah, okay.
Just pass.
Yeah. You know what? My daughter likes Gabriel Iglesias, which he's great. I do like him, but he's gotten a little bit, I think a little bit too like Disney, for lack of a better term. And he doesn't take chances anymore like he used to back in the day. Going off of him, fucking Felipe Esparza. I fucking love him. And then my daughter also loves Angela Johnson. She's from San Jose, I believe.
Yeah, she is. She hasn't done anything in a long time, though.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I think, I want to say she's just came out with something new, because my daughter was telling me some new stuff that she was doing. Talking about, unless it's an old bit that I have not seen yet on YouTube, talking about her assistant named Jack Kay.
Oh, yeah. I was saying, is it new to in general or new to your daughter?
Yeah, new to my daughter. Yeah, she's only 12, so everything's pretty much new to her.
Right. No, I was going to say, oh, yeah, it is called Dreamer, the Chappelle one.
That
I was talking
okay. About. All right. Yeah.
I thought that was pretty good. That's what I thought. Like, okay, he's doing enough for a good show, but it just seems like he's just pulling some punches. In my personal opinion, don't get me wrong. I thought it was funny. Thought it was good. You know, it's funny you mention that because I'm listening to this. I'm catching up on a lot of Howard Stern.
Yeah.
And he had his old buddy Craig Gass on. And oh, my God, that guy.
Fucking A, man.
Guy has some good stories. But what I wanted to say was.
Did he talk about the time he met me at in Sunnyvale?
So, yeah. Briefly. In a roundabout kind of story.
Yeah. You talk about Big Ed in bed scoring him some coke.
Yes. He met you and Tina. Howard just bashed a bunch of comedians. He goes, these guys I never heard of. They get internet famous, and all of a sudden they're touring and doing all the clubs and even theaters and some guys even stages. And goes, I never seen or heard of these guys. And it's like, oh, well, I mean. Are you a hermit or just you, they haven't done enough to catch you. And don't get me wrong, because he still plugs comedians, but
yeah,
like the guys who've been are like, you know, definitely on the back nine of a solid comedy career. You know,
I think a lot of it has to do with, because it's the old guard considers like you have to go on the tour, you have to go on the road and, you know, put in the work, but these people don't have to go on the road. They can just put their bits online and get famous that way.
Right.
It's like circumventing the whole Johnny Carson Tonight Show thing, because all these old people like the Seinfelds and the Richard Lewis's, because, you know, RIP just passed away, but they would go on the Tonight Show and that's where they would get famous, because it would pump their comedy into the houses of millions of Americans. Nowadays, you just have to put like a really good bit on YouTube or TikTok or whatever the case might be, and you get famous. So the people, the old guard who keep touring don't know these people because they're out there putting in work. And everyone's, it's almost like the whole, I think Dane Cook would have been perfect in this era. He just happened a little bit too soon because he caught fire on the early part of YouTube, and then, but he didn't put in the work. So what I'm saying is some of these comedians might be funny, but do they have the longevity, because they don't know what it's like to be out there and promoting themselves every day, every night in different parts of the US. But we'll wait and see.
It is too, because I heard like some of these guys are having issues now because they're used to their YouTube fan base, and then they get out on the stage and like, you know, they go to a club and people start getting offended or start razzing them, and it's like, wait a minute, they weren't expecting that, you know?
Yeah, they're like circle back to Bill Burr and Chappelle when they were on Saturday Night Live and they did their monologue, and I heard like crickets on some of the jokes and I was laughing my ass off. I'm like, oh, this is not their fan base.
Right.
So it's kind of like that. All right. This is a big fucking tangent, bro, because like we were talking about Boston Beer Company getting a new CEO.
It's part of the course.
All right. Of course, we're going to talk about something else besides what we started talking about. The Boston Beer Company will have a new CEO this spring. On Tuesday, the beer giant behind Samuel Adams and Dogfish Head announced that current president and CEO Dave Berwick is set to retire April 1st. Lead director Michael Spillane will assume the CEO role the same day. Berwick has been CEO of the company since 2018 and has been on Boston Beer's board since 2005. During Berwick's tenure, Boston Beer Company's revenue more than doubled, and its stock generated an average annual returns of 12%. Oh, just like earlier when I was telling you, like 12% is a good long a long play. 12% is really good. Let me see here. Berwick guided the growth of Boston Beer's Beyond Beer category, including billion-dollar brands Twisted Tea and Truly. He also oversaw product launches like Hard Mountain Dew and introduced new partnerships with major companies such as PepsiCo and Beam Suntory. This is a quote from Jim Koch. I've known Dave for 19 years, and he's had a tremendous impact on our company, first as a board member and for the last 6 years as our CEO. We've grown from $850 million in revenue when he began as CEO to more than $2 billion in revenue with a portfolio of powerful brands in attractive categories today. He's built a strong and deep leadership team, and he's positioned the company very well for ongoing successes in 2024 and beyond. Spillane has been on the board of companies since 2016 and in his role as lead director since summer of 2023, has had 17 years of experience working in consumer goods, holding leadership positions at companies like Nike Incorporated. So there you go. They go from a beer guy to a shoe guy, helming the CEO, the brand of a Boston Beer Company.
That's good for them. Wish them success.
Yep. See how it goes.
Don't need Sammy Light out here, but whatever.
I would love Sammy out of Light too. I'll get to
it. You guys don't get it no more?
not. I haven't seen it.
Hey.
I know, right?
Do they even make it?
I like that name Spillane. I was just watching Full Metal Jacket the other day, and the end of the opening act within at the island. He's like, "Who do you think you are, Mickey Spillane?" That's my Arlie Ermey talking to Matthew Modine, the Joker. All right, that's all I have for the beer news. So you know what that means?
I think so.
It's time for everyone's favorite segment on Cold Brew, because it's my favorite segment. It's time for the Cold Brew List.
Let me ask you this. Sure. What unofficial holiday do you associate with this month?
It's March, so St. Patrick's Day.
Right. So I have a list. This is more of just a shout out of mm-hmm. the 7 best Irish beers.
Oh, all right.
That are available in the U.S., by the way.
Okay.
Some parts of the U.S. Because I've seen these. Yeah, I've seen these, and then I haven't seen these. And then I've seen them again. And then they're gone.
Okay.
So first up is Murphy's Irish Stout.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. I don't think I've ever had it. Have you ever had that one?
Yes, Grant, come on.
Oh.
Brewed since 1856 in Cork, Ireland's Ladieswell Brewery. The stout is described as dark in color with almost no bitterness. It's got toffee and coffee undertones.
Hmm.
Here's one that I've seen when I first started drinking, but I've never seen again. And that is Kilkenny Cream Ale.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing that back in the day. I haven't seen it in a long time.
Well, that's the thing. It was brewed at St. Francis Abbey Brewery in Kilkenny until 2013 when production moved to Dublin.
You bastards.
I've seen this one all the time. Smidwix.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever Smidix. Had it. Have you ever had?
You're supposed to say, oh yeah, you're supposed to say Smidwix.
Uh-huh.
Like a M in there, but it looks like Smithwix.
Hmm. All right.
But it's a red ale. I'm a fan of the reds.
Red on head, good in bed.
Whoa, hey. Family show. Kind of.
Okay. Your family, not mine. Go ahead.
Here's one I've seen a lot, and I always meant to try and buy and pick up, but I never have, is Guinness Extra Stout. Now, oh. Guinness is known for their stout. Yeah. But the extra stout, I want to know how they do it.
Maybe it's like a double. Maybe it's like a 6.5 instead of a 5.0. Mm.
Possibly. Mm-hmm. And then number five is Magners Original Irish Cider.
All right. I've never had that.
Good for that. For the Mad Hatter, when you put the cider and then the Guinness on top of it.
Oh, and then yeah. The Chambord. Yeah.
Next, this is an interesting one. It's Hop House Lager 13. Or I'm sorry, Hop House 13 Lager. An Irish lager. Doesn't say where it's from. Or like what part of Ireland it's from.
Right.
I'm thinking north, but that's just me. And then number seven, Heart.
Oh yeah, yep. That's Guinness owned, right? Oh,
yeah. So by the time this show drops, real quick. Shout out to Harp's Lager, the tan of the infamous Black and Tan beer cocktail.
Yeah.
But by the time the show drops, people be a week into March and looking to wet their whistle for St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they find some good samples of Irish beer.
Yep. Very nice. All right. I try to look up the Guinness Double, and so many come up, and most of them are from the Open Gate, which is in, I think, Maryland, right? In Baltimore?
Yeah, Baltimore.
Yeah, so definitely not an Irish stout at that point. I would think call it American Irish stout. Do you remember some of your old St. Patrick's Day outings?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what was one of your favorites that you remember off the top of your head? We haven't talked about this, so this is kind of like a spur of the moment question.
My last one was me and I just got married. Okay, so we went to O'Flaherty's. I can't say the full name. The O'Flaherty's.
O'Flats, yeah.
AKA O'Flats, yeah. O'Flats in San Jose. And oh my gosh, it was packed. It was packed. We got in. It was me, my wife, one of her friends.
Yeah.
And I guess she was we weren't married at the time. So it was me, my fiance, the engineer, same person.
And, it might have been your girlfriend.
One of her friends.
Yeah. You don't know.
Yeah. No, one of her friends and one of my friends. And it was the first time I did I can't say the first time. It was the first time I went to O'Flaherty's for St. Patrick's Day, mm-hmm. which was cool. Then we went to the Sharks game afterwards, but I did an ICB, and it was fun. It was just drinking. But the thing is, that was before a Sharks game, which is like probably like 4 or 5 o'clock. But okay. I mean, I used to walk. I used to pub crawl in downtown San Jose all the time on St. Patrick's Day.
I think I remember going there with you one time for, it might have been when before you and the engineer were dating even, because I remember going to O'Flaherty's with you, O'Flats. And we met up, I think I want to say the counselor was there and maybe the engineer. And but you and I were bar hopping at the time. I think we went to like ISO. We started at San Pedro's ISO, then we ended up in O'Flats. And they had
I think that was your farewell tour.
Oh,
I
know. Okay. We went in there.
Farewell tour.
Yeah,
and then I remember we went to a wedding. Me and the engineer went to a wedding.
Okay.
And it was before we were married. But then we were bar hopping with people from the wedding after the reception, and mm-hmm. we met up with you. I don't remember if you remember that.
No, yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. Wow, that was a lot of good times in downtown San Jose, I got to say.
Yeah.
I mean, for not being known for a lot of Irish heritage, downtown San Jose still celebrates Irish heritage a lot.
There you go.
So anyway, Yeah, this year is going to be on a Sunday, St. Patrick's Day. Do you have any plans or anything? Because I think our parents are going to be down here for St. Patrick's Day. Are you and the missus planning anything, or are you just going to stay home?
You know, I might go and like do lunch or something. Hmm. Get some, was it cornbread and cabbage?
Oh shit! Yeah.
Thanks for the no-so. Corned beef and cabbage.
Oh, corned beef and cabbage. Corn slaw. Whatever. Yeah, but so they're gonna be down here, and I don't know. Did I mention on the show my daughter's getting surgery? She's gonna have surgery on the 18th, so I don't want to do a lot of partying on St. Patrick's Day. Like under normal circumstances, it's Sunday's my free day. I can do whatever I want. I can get totally blitz faced, and the next day I don't have to do anything until I have to work at 10 p.m. So I could totally recover. This year, I don't know. I cannot, because I think we have to be up early in the morning and drive my daughter to downtown Phoenix for her surgery. So, yeah, I think this St. Patrick's Day, I'll wear green. I remember last year, I got to my daughter's house because I went over there on St. Patrick's Day, and she was like waiting to pinch me, and she got mad at me because I was wearing green. I know your youngest probably doesn't know, but your oldest, does she know you're supposed to wear green on the March 17th?
She might learn this year. Her preschool program is pretty up on stuff, and she catches on stuff.
Okay.
And at the same time, my wife, she's really good about dressing up our daughters. So, you know, she'll hype up the outfit she got her for the day. So, you know, my daughter will show it off when she wears it.
Does your daughter's school have like theme days? Like you dress a certain way, you can dress your pajamas one day or a silly hat another day. Do they do that? Because my daughter's school does that.
Okay, she did that when she was in the younger classroom.
Yeah,
but in the current one she's in, no, not that we know of.
Okay.
Yeah, the thing about my daughter is she likes to wear dresses. So during the winter months it's hard, but my wife got a bunch of long sleeve dresses, so that worked. And then it's caught on where like a lot of girls in the class want to wear dresses because she sees our daughter in dress. She's trendsetting.
Without even knowing, she's a trendsetter. That's fucking awesome.
Exactly.
She could be an Instagram influencer when she grows up.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool, man. All right, let's move right along to our next segment. How's your beer treating you?
Good. Gone.
Yeah, mine too. We are going to rate our beers right now on Untappd. Search Cold Brew Podcast and we will friend you back. So I'm on Untappd right now, and I remember you had by Drake's the Draconic. There are a few that are year based, but I'm going to go by the one that doesn't have no year next to them because you have no idea what year it was, right?
Yeah.
All right. So what would you like to rate this beer at?
I'm going to give this a 4 or 5.
Ooh, all right. All right. It has an overall rating right now of 3.89. Four of our friends have rated it for an average of 3.94. But we're going to give it a 4.5. Yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, we are done with the tenths. So we're on the quarter system again. And what notes would you like to leave on this one?
I just want to give roasty.
Yeah.
And smooth.
Smooth, yeah.
And sweet.
And sweet. Oh, the autocorrect changed roasty to toasty. Hold on a second. R.
Be toast.
Check in. And we are in. Right on. See, we have middle of the road and beyond a shadow of a stout badges. Thank you very much. Close all cards. So I have westbound and down, which.
Real quick, I just want to get more into my rating. It was really enjoyable. Awesome beer. I mean, and yeah, I'm a fan of Drake's too. However, they did this one. I don't know if it's the barrel aging, the Heaven Hill stuff. Their beer recipe, but it really worked. It really embodied like the whole what a barrel aged stout should be without being too much. You know, because you could be obnoxious with the barrel aging flavoring anyway. But it complemented well, and maybe that is because this thing has been solid for years too. I mean, it matured a little bit too, yeah. So it was all good, very enjoyable.
Very
good job by Drake.
Yeah,
better job by me keeping it. Total team effort.
Shows a lot of like resolve and like you know inner fortitude to keep a beer that long. All right, so I had by Westbound and Down their Juice Caboose. I gotta say I didn't mention it before, but Westbound and Down, I really liked it because it's a playoff that Eastbound and Down song by Jerry Reed that was made popular that popularized that in the movie Smokey and the Bandit, and further popularized by the HBO show with Kenny Powers. What's his name? Danny McBride. So Westbound and Down. Kind of turns that on its head. This Juice Caboose is amazing. It's a really good hazy IPA. I'm gonna give it a 4.5. Right now it has an overall rating of 4.07. None of our friends have rated it, so I am gonna give it a little boost right now, and I'm gonna say it is smooth and citric, because it really is smooth, man. It is a smooth ass fucking beer, but it has a lot of it. According to the website, it has a Caracara oranges, and when it comes to me, when it comes to fruits, oranges, I really love navel oranges, and maybe like the mandarins, the little cuties and everything, but all the other flavors of oranges, like the Caracara oranges and the blood oranges, I like them better in beers than I do as a fruit. So that, but that's all my own personal flavor preference. You know what I mean?
Right.
Have you ever had Caracara oranges or blood oranges, like just as in, by themselves, or just in beers or drinks or juices?
No, I've had them. I had the gauntlet. We buy a lot of fruit for our daughters, so I've had them.
Yeah. Oh, my daughter loves the what do you call it? The mandarins or the cuties, the halos, or whatever they call them these days. What kind of fruits are your? Oh, she also loves like the berries, raspberries, strawberries, blackberries, blueberries. Which fruits do your daughters love?
Their favorites are strawberries, and then I would say grapes.
Oh, okay.
And then oranges.
Have you given them the cotton candy grapes yet?
I can't say that I have, but okay. I might have.
Oh, all right. Those are weird. Like, it's almost like a taste test. Like, if you have like two or three of them, they're fucking fabulous. But if you have like a bunch of them, the sweetness kind of overpowers. For me, anyway. Kids might be a different story, but for me, it's way too sweet, and the flavor is a little bit overbearing.
Yeah.
But
yeah, anyway. I think too, the orange is just kind of, it's hit or miss, because like, you know, we'll buy the little halos or whatever, the cuties, and sometimes they're super sweet, and sometimes they're like, same thing with the, like sometimes we'll buy the just the regular oranges, and you know, sometimes They're great, and sometimes they just feel like bland. So,
do you ever get the
Like I don't care so much for the style versus the actual. Is it a good version of the style?
Oh yeah, because like we've gotten oranges or cuties that like they're hard to peel. Like I thought the cuties yeah. supposed to be fucking super easy to peel, and like they're all sticking.
Wait, I thought you eat the peel.
No. I eat the pith, but not the peel. But anyway, we digress. All right, anything else you'd like to bring up on this episode of Cold Brew Podcast?
No, not because they guess.
Right on. All right. So thank you to everyone who downloaded and listened to us. And on behalf of me and Social Chromatic, we'd like to wish you cheers.
Until next time.